question. Do we need to do more than our swadharma of our sadhana? And do we need to worry that if the social situation is becoming increasingly hostile to the practice of dharma, then if we are born again in a future life, we may not have the situation conducive for the practice of dharma? And that is why, apart from practicing our own sadhana, do we also need to aggressively counter the dangers to dharma? Answer: yes, certainly whatever are the dangers to dharma, they need to be countered. And that countering should be done not just because we ourselves may be reborn again in a future life, but also for future generations, you know, our own children, our future generations, and for the benefit of people in future at large, we need to do our part in protecting the legacy of dharma from adharmic attackers. So there's no doubt that we should do this, but the question is, what is the way to do this? So firstly, the greatest danger to dharma comes from people not practicing dharma themselves at all. So then, if we have just people defending dharma but not practicing dharma themselves, then that show of dharma, that superficiality of dharma, is also a great danger. So doing one's own sadhana is vitally important for anyone who wishes to be a protector of dharma, because it is by our dharma is best protected and propagated through those who are living the dharma in their own lives. And that is actually, in one sense, indispensable. Now, of course, what the sadhana is and to what extent one follows sadhana, that may vary according to person. And there may be people who have a greater activist zeal than others. That means they are interested more in the propagation of dharma and in the creation of systems for the protection of dharma and in the establishment of resources for countering anti-dharmic forces. And that is also very important. But that is not necessarily required for everyone. And those who are not doing this, those who are focusing on practicing their own sadhana primarily, they are also valid and valuable practitioners of dharma. Now, there are two different attitudes. One is the attitude of focus. The other is the attitude of apathy. The attitude of focus means that if someone feels that this is what I wish to focus on, you know, I will study scripture, I will do my sadhana, and I will go closer to spiritual truth. That is a matter of focus. But the other is the matter of apathy. Apathy is where one doesn't care. And apathy is often irresponsibility. And when one is, then there is a responsibility like that, where one doesn't care, thinking that ultimately this world is an illusion and whatever, we have to transcend this world. That kind of apathy is definitely incorrect, because even if this world is illusory, but still it is through this world that we have to walk in order to go to the other world. And that's why protecting dharma is so important that Krishna also descends in this world. So apathy is definitely not recommended. But there are various enemies to dharma, and there are various ways in which those enemies can be countered. So, for example, some people may just practice their own dharma and they directly share the practices of dharma with others. That is also a valuable service for protecting and propagating dharma. And there may be others who are not so much interested in the direct propagation of the practices of dharma, but they are more interested in looking at bigger geopolitical or socio-cultural threats, and they focus on countering those threats. But these are all these should be seen as different regiments in the same army. Whether one is directly propagating dharma, or whether one is directly propagating the principles of dharma or the practice of dharma, or whether one is countering aggressors who are destroying the environment necessary for the practice of dharma. All these are like regiments in the different regiments in an army, and it is not that one regiment is necessarily superior to another. It is not that those who are practicing and sharing the principles of dharma, and they are not worried, they are not caught in bigger geopolitical issues, then it is not that they are irrelevant kshatriyas. It's not that are they not irrelevant scholars. They are also doing an important service, and those who are looking at geopolitical issues or socio-cultural issues, they are also doing a valuable service. Just as there is a danger when one is doing one's own sadhana, that one may get so consumed by one's own sadhana that one becomes self-centered. Similarly, there is also the danger that when one gets into socio-cultural or geopolitical issues, then one may, because these are material things, the mundane realities, one may get too consumed in them, and thus one may forget or neglect the spiritual priorities of their life. So, in the name of propagating dharma, we may end up actually too caught up in the externals necessary for external that we think are necessary for the protection and propagation of dharma, and we may actually get distracted from the essential principles and practices of dharma. So every way we can work towards the cause of dharma, they are all valuable. Krishna also talks about this at various basically the various levels of practice of dharma, from 12.8 to 12.12, where he says, first just fix the mind on me, intelligence in me, and live in me. Then he says, try to focus your mind on me through sadhana bhakti. Then he says, work for me. Then he says, if you can't do that, then you work for a good cause and sacrifice the fruits of work. So basically, this verse gives a general, gives a understanding of dharma, that it is not a single level, it is multi-level. And different people may practice dharma at different levels. And everybody needs to be accommodated in the practice of dharma, in the practice and the propagation, sharing of dharma. And the idea that one level is superior to others, or one level is the only most important thing and others are unimportant, they are not right. In general, if we see in Indian history, the Brahmanas would be actively involved in intellectual work, and the sages, who are most of them Brahmanas, they would actually not just do intellectual work and do austerities and penances, but they would also live in the forest, and they would not get involved in much in the socio-political realities. So we see, even when there is Islamic invasion and Islamic occupation and Islamic devastation of India and India's dharmic traditions, the spiritual leaders of India did not get actively involved in politics. They did not actively involve in the. They supported those who wanted to, those kings who were trying to protect dharma, but they did not actively get involved themselves in these things. So today, of course, the principle of attack, there is more than the political attack. There is the intellectual attack that is there, and accordingly, protection is required. So the intellectual defense and intellectual countering is also required. But in general, the closer one keeps oneself to the absolute truth, closer one keeps oneself to the spiritual reality, the safer it is for oneself. And it is not that in the name of safety, one is not executing one's responsibility. That responsibility is also being executed because one is practicing dharma, and through one's example, one is also sharing dharma. And so if one is also practicing and sharing one's principles actively by speaking or by informing people, then that is even better. So we could say there are three broad levels to conclude this. Those who practice dharma alone and they don't care for others, That is negative. Those who practice dharma and they care for others, and their care they express by directly sharing the principles and practices of dharma, of sadhana. And third is those who practice dharma, those who care for others, and those who focus not so much on sharing the direct practices and principles of dharma as on dealing with bigger forces which may be hostile. And the fourth level could be those who get caught up in just dealing with the bigger hostile forces and don't get involved at all and forget to practice their own dharma. So the first and the fourth are in one sense not healthy. The second and the third both are healthy. And the accommodating, inclusive nature of dharmic practice is such that both people, according to their interests and inspirations, can be accommodated.